Hey there, it's Jess Nelson, and welcome to another episode of My Cancer Story podcast. Now, you know, it's still October and it is still Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I have another breast cancer survivor story here for you today. Today, you are going to hear Anna's story. She is a 9-year breast cancer survivor, also having a double mastectomy, going through chemo, and coming out the other side of breast cancer. In addition to that, she has a very special circumstance. She has something called vaginismus. If you don't know what it is, please stay and listen to hear more about it and how she describes it and how it has affected her life, ultimately leading her to create this amazing dating app called Entwine. So please take a listen and learn more about Anna Entwine and all the amazing things that she's done and the amazing advice that she gives us. So everyone, here is Anna's cancer story. All right. Well, Anna, thank you so much for joining me on our newest episode of My Cancer Story podcast. It's a true pleasure to have you. And I'm so interested to hear your story.
Thank you, Jess.
Yeah. So as the listeners were hearing, I gave a brief intro at the beginning. So Anna is going to be telling her breast cancer survival story, and it's got a twist to it. And it's so interesting. Anna had sent me an email describing what had been going on in her life and what she created from it. So it really piqued my interest, and I really wanted to share it with the listeners out there because I was unaware of the condition that you had explained to me and what you created with this. So like the silver lining of it all. So Anna, as we go with the Cancer Story podcast, I typically hand it off to you. You get it going. I'll ask questions along the way, and we'll just chat like two friends hanging out on Zoom.
Okay. Good.
Awesome. So welcome. I'll have you introduce yourself and a breast cancer survivor right here.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. My name is Anna, and I'm an almost 9-year breast cancer survivor. I was diagnosed when I was 36 years old, and I found a lump in the shower when I was I had a bar of soap in my hand, and I brushed across the lump. And I thought, well, I'm 36 and I'm like, I don't think it can't be anything. I don't have any family history. I had a cousin that had breast cancer at an early age. So I wasn't nervous about it. I also worked in pathology at the time as a secretary. So I heard about all the cancers and everything. And, so I ended up getting it biopsied, and, it ended up being cancer, which I was very surprised, of course. And, So I went to a doctor, and he basically said, you know, you could just do a lumpectomy. You don't need a mastectomy. And I was just like, well, you know, how do I know for sure? You know, you never know. It was a really hard decision to make. So I ended up finding another doctor just for a second opinion, which I don't like doing for some reason in the beginning. Now I think I highly recommend it, but, I went for a second opinion, and she wanted to do an MRI. And that's when she found out that I had another tumor. And then, and during surgery, I actually had a third tumor. So the second tumor helped me decide I needed a mastectomy. Okay. So I ended up doing the mastectomy, one-sided mastectomy, and, I had to do chemotherapy, and it was estrogen, progesterone positive, and also HER2 new positive. So I had to have something called Herceptin for a year. And then also the chemotherapy, 6 treatments of it. So I, you know, lost all my hair and everything. That was probably the hardest part for me. Thankfully, the side effects from chemo didn't really affect me that much.
Okay.
I was very lucky about that. But I always wonder, like, why did I get cancer? You know, I know I always think everything happens for a reason. What did I get it for?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, well, you know what? Maybe I just need to help people. So again, anybody that got diagnosed, I would be like, well, you know, why don't you tell them to call me? You know, I can give them some advice and try to encourage them to you know, not be afraid. Cause like, I was afraid of hearing about chemo. I'm like, you know, you hear horror stories and you watch TV and it's people, you know, everybody's in a circle and, you know, talking, and it's like, oh my gosh, I can't, you know, it was just really hard for me to, I didn't know what to expect, you know?
Yeah.
And, So I finished everything, as far as I finished the chemo, but I'd never healed from my one-sided mastectomy. So my skin was just kind of dying on my breast.
Really?
And the surgeon that I went to, the plastic surgeon, he kept saying, well, you know what, this, it takes time to heal. Just keep coming back in 2 weeks and I'll look at it. And I realized nothing was going on with my chest. Like it wasn't healing. Mm-hmm. And he just kept telling me, come back, you know, come back in 2 weeks. And I'm like, okay, now I need another opinion. And I said, you know, I hate doing second opinions, but, but in this case, I felt like I needed to, because I went to him and I said, listen, I'm not healing. It's been 2 months, I think it was, after my mastectomy. I'm not healing yet. Mm-hmm. So he goes, and I said, I took a picture of it and I sent it to, you know, I showed another plastic surgeon, and that's when he just like freaked out. You know, he's just like, you know what? I told you I'll take care of this. You know, you have to have confidence in me and we'll fix it. I'm like, well, finally, you know, so he did. And then with breast cancer and when they put expanders, mm-hmm. it slowly stretches the skin. So when he started feeling it again, my skin started to open again. So, so I needed to have, what he suggested was that I have back flap surgery, mm-hmm. where they take tissue and muscle from your back and they pull it through your side and create a new breast with blood supply and everything. And, mm-hmm. And it scared me. I'm like, that's, you know, that's, I already have a back and you're going to do that. And he goes, oh, you're a pro now. You'll be fine. And I was like, what?
So how do you know? Like,
right. Yeah. So, okay. It was surprising that just, I mean, he was very confident, but then at the same time, it was like, I feel like you're too busy for me, you know?
Yeah.
So he was going to do, I asked, you know, what about like stomach flap surgery where you take skin and, I heard, you know, muscle or whatever from your abdomen and create breasts. And he said, oh, you're not a candidate for that. I said, well, you don't do that surgery. So maybe, you know, if I go to another surgeon and find out, no, you don't have enough tissue there. Because you'll be fine. Let's, you know, just make an appointment and we'll do that surgery. So so I ended up leaving, went for another opinion. And
good. I was about to say, he seemed awful pushy.
Mm-hmm.
That like he was. Red flags, like going up right there.
Yeah, he was very... When I first saw him, he said, he goes, by the time you're done with your procedure, your friends are going to be jealous of you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, really? They're going to be jealous that they're getting a mastectomy? You know, yeah, I doubt it. You know, so it's just, there's no compassion, you know?
Yeah.
And then I started finding out from other women that there was a lot of women that have had really bad experiences with him, implants falling out or, and you know, skin opening, and then he would just blame it on the other surgeon, you know. So that's why I'm saying, like, it's really important, just get a second opinion, because you don't, or even if you can find out, like, you know, hey, can you do any patients that went through this so I can talk about it?
Yeah.
And that's what I did with that surgery he wanted me to do with the back flap surgery. I said, can I talk to a woman that went through it with you? And he goes, oh no, we can't do that because of HIPAA. And I said, well,
no, they can. No, that's not,
yeah, they can.
They can.
And I didn't know it. I mean, I was like, well, okay. But just the way it was, just, he was avoiding it completely.
Yeah. That's super shady. That's so shady.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I used to work for some plastic surgeons like back in the day. And before they, when a patient would ask like, hey, can I talk to somebody who's done a similar procedure? They're like, sure, we'll have to ask that patient and they'll call you. Like,
right.
You know, like it's kind of like out of our hands because of HIPAA, you got to be careful, but like, mm-hmm. if they're okay with it, they will give you a call. And
exactly.
It's easy. That's crazy. They're just like, no, HIPAA, you can't do that. That's so,
Yeah. And I didn't even think to ask, you know, can I see before and after pictures?
Yeah,
it's like, they didn't even before my mastectomy, he didn't have anything to show me. Hmm. And, of course, you know, so since I worked at the hospital or, you know, with pathology, I just kind of like, I would talk to the doctor. I don't know a lot of doctors. So I would say like, who's the best surgeon? And, you know, just so I could just like, I don't want to waste any time. This is an aggressive cancer. Just, I want to just get this done. And, you know, it's just that this doctor used to be great, but he just unfortunately got too busy and careless, I guess. But, so I ended up finding another doctor, and then he suggested something called the deep flap, which is a deep, I believe, inferior epigastric perforation or something like that.
Okay.
Basically it's like a tram where they take, it's like a football shaped, cut out of your abdomen, and they, mm-hmm. it's like a tummy tuck basically.
Yeah. I was going to ask if it was like a tummy tuck. Yeah.
It's like a tummy tuck, but they don't use muscle in this procedure. So, okay. And only microsurgeons can do this procedure, and there's not that many out there because they're dealing with blood vessels. in the abdomen area, and that's where they reconnect it into your chest wall for blood flow. Otherwise, the tissue will die. So he's like, well, you know, it's a 10-hour surgery, sometimes 14. And I was like, what? You know, it's like when you hear that, you're like, am I going to die?
That's
you
daunting. Know? Yeah.
And I was more worried about that than being under anesthesia that long, you know?
Yeah.
And it was a very, you know, major surgery. And then I thought, you know, if I'm going to do this, why don't we just remove my other side that's healthy? Because I'm not going to have anything else to reconstruct it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to use implants anymore. And so that was in September of, September of 2013 okay. is when I had my surgery. But then, so I had a total of 6 surgeries from the time I got diagnosed with my breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And then eventually I ended up having a hysterectomy because I was on tamoxifen for 10 years. So I was supposed to be on it. And tamoxifen basically gets rid of all the estrogen in my body okay. as possible, because the goal was to keep me in menopause or just have lack of estrogen, because that's what grew my tumor.
Yeah, it was hormone based.
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you opted for hysterectomy just because it would reduce the amount of hormones going in your body?
Well, they said that removing my uterus wasn't going to do anything. Okay. It was, and my ovaries weren't really functioning because I didn't get my period anymore. But the tamoxifen, this one of the side effects is uterine cancer.
Oh,
so I was like, you know, my gynecologist was doing an ultrasound. Well, you know what, it's thickening, you know, it's up to you if you want to remove it. I'm like, yeah, just get rid of it. I'm like, what do I need it for?
Get out of here.
Yeah. So, so I did that a few years ago. And, so, you know, with breast cancer, actually, I should probably go back a little bit further before breast cancer. I had endometriosis. So
mm-hmm. Me too.
Oh, isn't it fun?
Lucky. So, so wonderful.
Yeah. I'm so lucky. I just had,
I know.
You know, endometriosis. That
lovely stabbing pain.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, it was just freaking great. Yeah. So so with endometriosis, one of my side effects from that was painful intercourse. Yeah. And which turned into lack of libido. And then and I think with you know, I also had problems putting inserting tampons. I'm like, well, oh, wow. I think this is just normal. I mean,
it was normal for you.
Anything internal was just was just uncomfortable. Wow. And so I never enjoyed intercourse. So I was like, well, you know, maybe that's just how I'm supposed to be, you know. Yeah. And so then, you know, over time, I started realizing like something's wrong with my vagina. Cause I was with my, you know, I was married for 20 years. I met my ex-husband when I was in 8th grade. So I was with one person all my life. Yeah. It was a long time I've known him. So it was, something was wrong. I like nothing would go inside at all. Like it was like hitting a wall. I'm like, okay, what the heck is going on? Mm-hmm. So I went to the gynecologist and she's like, well, you have something called vaginismus. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, what's the treatment for it? And she's like, well, you have to go for vaginal therapy. I'm like, vaginal therapy? I never even heard of vaginal therapy.
Heard of that either.
It's called pelvic floor therapy. But
oh, pelvic floor. Okay.
Yeah. So she recommended that I do that. And basically with vaginismus, the way the doctor explained it to me is that, you know, we have all these muscles in our vaginal area. Mm-hmm. And over time, with all the pain that I was having, my vagina broke pretty much, because it was like, it got scared of anything that would
would push anything out.
It was, just like basically spasming. The walls of my vaginal area were spasming. And the way they described it is, if somebody goes up to you, every time you see them, they punch you in the arm. Mm-hmm. Eventually you're going to flinch whenever they come by you. So that's what's happening. It's like, oh, nothing can go in there. Don't do that. It's mm-hmm. going to hurt. And then, so it was, some of it was mental, some of it, you know, it was actually the physical thing. Mm-hmm. So they suggested the vaginal therapy, and that entailed, the like 5 different size, dilators. And, they're basically, one's like the size of a pencil, and then the one of them is like Godzilla size was what I called it. I was like, when I saw it, I was like, whoa.
You're like, oh hell no.
Really? I'm like, no. Like, I want to put that in my drawer in the back. And let's hide that. I would hope no woman would ever have to use that.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Cause I was like, you know, I couldn't even like, even like a pelvic exam. I couldn't even have like, an
really?
Internal. Yeah. It was just, she's like, you're just spasming completely. Wow. And, you know, and I talked to my friends about it, you know, cause like I hear their stories, you know, their sex stories. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh God, I'm going to throw up. Like, you know, it's like, I don't want to hear that. Ew, what did you do? What? You know? So, so they just couldn't understand. They're like, well, maybe you're with the wrong person, or I mean, you just need to relax, have a glass of wine. You know, even mm-hmm. a doctor back in the day told me that, she's like, have a glass of wine, just relax. I'm like, I wish it was that easy.
Yeah, right? You know?
So,
Oh, that's what I need to do. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's easy. I wish I thought of that.
I wish I thought of that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I started doing the therapy, but, it was painful, you know, and it's a very long, slow process. So there's a cure for vaginismus. I just eventually said, you know what, I'm tired of this pain. And I just decided just to stop using the dilators. And then I got cancer. I was like, oh, okay. Well, you know, so
let's focus
on that. The doctor's like,
yeah.
What's that?
I said, let's focus on that instead of, yeah. Yeah.
Forget about my vagina.
The dilators.
Let's talk about, about my breast now.
The cancer. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So the doctor, the oncologist basically said, you know, it's estrogen positive, hormone positive. So we're going to try to get rid of all your estrogen in your body. So it's going to affect your sex drive. I'm like, oh,
great.
Wow. So, you know, I thought I was already at zero for my sex drive. Now we're going to be negatives. And so it's like, and he goes, you know, and you're also going to be a lot of vaginal dryness. I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like,
so that's really going to affect
that's why I was like, and now I'm going to use my dilators too. I'm like, oh, you know, I just like, I'm going to focus on beating cancer first. And and he was right. I mean, it made everything a lot worse. I just couldn't believe how bad it changed everything. But even, you know, when I thought it was the worst, it got even, you know, exacerbated it, the mm-hmm. vaginismus. So I was talking to my, like back in the day, I was talking to my friends a couple of years ago. And before I got divorced 2 years ago. And my friends would go on dates and they would use, you know, whatever dating sites they would use. Mm-hmm. And they would come back to me and they're like, you know, there's every guy I seem to be going out with, he has ED, erectile dysfunction. And I'm so sick of it. You know, it's like, they act like they're, you know, they give me all these excuses, you know, and like, so they just can't have sex, the intercourse, you know, mm-hmm. the sex could be anything, you know, it doesn't have to be internal.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would kind of joke around in a way. I'm like, well, I'm married now, but if I ever got divorced, can you just save the guy's number? Cause you know, maybe I can call him because I could, that would be perfect for me if I never have to have intercourse again, cause it's just always painful, you know?
Yeah.
And, we joked around about it and then I ended up getting divorced and I was like, what am I going to do now? I'm like, shoot, you know, I mean, what guy is going to want to be with me?
Dating is hard.
Right.
As is, if you know, all the parts work the way they're supposed to and, you know, but like going on apps and like people and you don't know what everybody's intentions are and like
exactly.
Is it all about sex? Is it not all about sex? So
which it usually is, right?
It usually is. So yeah. That's because there's a lot of hookup sites and that's gotta be like really daunting being newly single after 20 years of marriage.
Yeah. And plus with this issue, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, who's gonna understand this? You know, and then I thought, well, if I could find guys that have ED, and I wasn't like being funny either, you know, just was like being serious. I'm like, if I could find, cause I love affection, you know, I love the other forms of intimacy.
Yeah.
But I just can't have the intercourse, you know? And, so I thought, you know what? I need to do something about this. I already help people, you know, whenever you get diagnosed, call me, you know, we'll go out and we'll talk, you know, I always wanted to help people, but I wanted to take an extra step. Mm-hmm. That's when I decided, I'm like, I'm going to do a dating app that takes the sexual expectations out of dating. And so, cause there's so many women out there and men and, mm-hmm. That they have a side effect from cancer. And one of them is sexual dysfunction. And a lot of them are cheated on or, you know, their partner doesn't understand, you know, or, you know, it just wasn't fair. I'm like, I wanted to just stay single after I got divorced. I'm just going to stay single. It's just easier. I don't want to explain this to anybody, mm-hmm. but I'm like, no, I need to do a dating app for people like this, even if they don't have a cancer history. I mean, it could be anything. You could be on antidepressant medication.
Yeah.
You could have a cardiac condition. Diabetes mm-hmm. can cause this, sexual dysfunction. And so I thought there's
traumatic, something traumatic in right. the past that they're just
right. sexual yeah. trauma.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could be anything, and it doesn't matter. And I searched it. And I was like, well, how many men in the US have ED? Mm-hmm. And it said 33 million wow. have ED. Yeah. Huh. I was like, whoa, that's a lot, you know? Yeah. And then worldwide it was like, almost 300 million. Mm-hmm. So I realized there was a problem. Like there's, how do we bring this community, get this demographic together and, mm-hmm. and help, you know, just so they could find each other and they could understand right away so they can go. So my app is called Entwine, mm-hmm. Entwine. And it basically, it's like a regular dating app. If anybody's ever used one of those and right away, you know, the cards are on the table, intercourse is not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And you know, you know right away. It takes that embarrassing conversation out of dating yeah. and meeting somebody new, because the things I have to say to guys I meet,
yeah,
because I just started going out again,
yeah.
A couple of years ago. I you know, it's just a new world for me, you know.
Yeah.
And if I do meet somebody, it's just like I tell them right away about my issue. And, you know, my friends are like, don't tell the guy right away.
I think that's responsible though. You
right?
know, I think that's a responsible thing to do. Kind of the same thing if you have like an STD, like you should kind of just put it out there. Just be like,
right.
let you know.
Mm. Yeah. But you know, I guess in both situations, both cases, it's embarrassing, you know,
it
at
is.
Least it was for me.
Yeah.
Like I could just think, you know, what it was, I looked it up. I said, how does a guy date with ED? And it said, the advice was, you know, just get to know the person first and then maybe leave a book on your, if you're at, they're at your house, leave a book on your table that says something about ED and then be like, oh, by the way, I wanted to talk to you about something that I have. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like that's horrible, you know,
because then tough too.
Right. So I thought, you know, I need to tell the person right away. So, oh man, the things guys say.
So, oh really?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Do you mind sharing a couple
of
things?
Oh yeah. These are good ones. And I don't get offended by it because I just like, you know, this yeah. is why I did my app, not, you know, yeah. for people like you. And it's okay for a guy to say, I need sex, I need intercourse. Okay, that's great. I'd rather you tell
beings.
Me that.
Yeah.
Because so I remember the first guy I told, he's like, you have the perfect reason why a guy would not want to be with you. And I was like, thanks.
Thank you.
I think he was like, I would totally date you, but I'm sorry, I have to have sex. And I said, oh, that's fine. I said, I'd rather you be honest instead yeah. of trying to convince yourself that you're okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy goes, well, you know, you have other holes. I was like, wow.
Wow.
You know,
that's a really sensitive thing to say to somebody after they like share something really like intimate about themselves.
Yeah.
Other holes. Oh my
thank
God.
You. Thank you.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah. Or, you haven't been with the right guy yet.
Oh God.
Yeah. Mm. Another one was, well, when you're with me, you haven't orgasmed right, the right way. Once I make you orgasm, oh, you'll be cured. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's like, it sounds like a miracle you can do.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
A magical penis.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, oh my God.
Okay. You know, so, then I would like kind of tell them, because they didn't understand, like they thought, you know, oh, it's because it's in your head or whatever. And then I'm like, I said, when I had my hysterectomy, my gynecologist is like, you were under anesthesia. She's like, I tried to get an instrument inside of you. And she's like, I couldn't because you were knocked out. But so it's not just wow. mentally, you know?
Yeah.
And she even surprised me when she told me that. I'm like, really? Wow. Like, I thought I would be all relaxed and it wouldn't matter. She goes, no, she's like, it's completely, everything's just spasming completely.
Wow.
So, but yeah, the guys are funny. And, or, I met somebody that said, he wanted me to friend request him on Facebook or whatever. And he's like, oh, we're going to get together, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, yeah, check out my Facebook. So I never heard from him again. Cause I know like on my Facebook page, I'll have like, you know, Entwine. Everybody's talking about, you know, sharing my posts and stuff. It's like, so he's probably like, oh God, hell no. You know? And again, yeah. like that's fine.
An easy way to kind of break the ice about it though. Just like, hey, find me on Facebook.
Yeah. Or a guy said like, hey, can I have your number? And I said, hey, let me show you this app that I'm creating. And then I tell them about it and they're like, oh, so, yeah. Or he's looking at his phone, and one guy was looking at his phone, and I kept talking about it. And then you could tell he was getting really uncomfortable. And then all of a sudden he just got up and walked away.
I'm like, oh, wow. Okay. Bye.
Yeah. And, most recently, which I probably shouldn't have done this. I met a guy, he seemed like he was nice and everything. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to tell him right away. And I'm like, oh, by the way, I created this dating app, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, well, I don't have that problem. So I gave him my business card. I said, it was nice talking to you. If you ever end up with the ED, just give me a call. And then I looked at him, like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. That's probably, I probably shouldn't do that, right? Hand out my business card and be like, if you ever get ED. Yeah. It's funny because when I'm at with my friends and I'll see a guy, I'm like, well, he's good looking. I'm like, do you think he has ED? Like, do you think I can go up to him and ask him, you know?
That's like your first hope. You're like, please.
Yeah. Because I mean, I think there's a lot of guys out there. They're embarrassed about it. You know, so are women, you know. Yeah. It's very, I mean, I don't mean to make fun of it. You know, it sucks, you know, and I feel like I have the female version of ED and it's not fair. You know, it's like, why do I have to have endometriosis, vaginismus, cancer? Mm-hmm. And so then I'm like, well, maybe this is why I had all of that. So I can do this app and help people. And, yeah. but it's not fair for people just to be like, you know, giving up wanting to be single because of that. You know, it gets lonely, you know, they want the other kind of affection. It's not fair. They're going to be rejected and not feel loved because of their sexual limitations. So that's why I created the Entwine app.
Yeah. Humans definitely need companionship. And like,
me too.
Even if you like want, oh, I'm just going to stay single. I want to stay single. Still, like you said, you want that intimacy, like non-sexual intimacy and that companionship. Right. And I think that's so important. You know,
it is.
You kind of want your partner for life, you know?
Yeah. And someone that can understand you and not get frustrated and, you know,
absolutely.
The vaginismus was, I found that I was using the dilators it wasn't for myself, you know, cause like, since I never enjoyed intercourse, I'm like, why am I using these dilators for what? So I can have more pain or what is this that I'm, you know? And cause I was going to start using them again when I got divorced, and I was like, no, I just don't want to use them. So there's definitely hope for people that do have it, you know, don't give up. Like I did, but I just chose, you know, it's kind of like a guy. Yeah. And like a guy, sometimes they do injections for ED. Mm. They use like penile injections.
Oh, interesting.
And I heard that's very painful. And I go on like a erectile dysfunction support groups on Facebook. And a guy would say like, you know, I hate using these needles. It hurts. And it's like he was using it for the other person, not for himself. And I think it's for men, you know, men like that too. They're tired of the pain and, or whatever it is. And, and they don't like to talk about it, like I said, but that's why I just want to get the word out and get people to hear about Entwine and find companionship and realize that they're not alone.
No, that's a great idea. And it solves a need that people have too. And the fact that there's nothing else out there like that right now is kind of amazing. I commend you for, you know, thinking of it and actually like activating it too, you know?
Thank you.
So is it live yet, or is this still in like the beta process or alpha testing or anything like that? Or
it went live a few weeks ago.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah. So it's available in the US right now. Okay. I already had, a few different countries, Canada, India, Pakistan. It's just crazy. Like the people, the UK especially, they're like, please have this app available in our country. And I was like, oh, I would love to.
You're already, you know, getting like requests.
Yeah. And it was awesome. So quick, you know, right. And, like that's my goal, is to have it available worldwide. Mm-hmm. So right now it is only available in the US. I just want to get it going and established, and then think about branching out to other countries. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely really new. And the tricky part is getting the word out.
Yeah.
Because nobody likes to talk about it. You know, it's not like me. I walk around, I could probably wear a shirt that says my vagina is broken. Ask me why, ask me questions.
That's
or whatever.
Good marketing.
Yeah. I'm sure the moms out there wouldn't like it with their little kids
around.
But
yeah. It's definitely a taboo subject. I get that. It is. And kind of like cancer is too. It's becoming more mainstream to talk about it, but like even, you know, talking about your sexual health is really difficult, and to be vulnerable like that. And like you right now telling me this story on a podcast is I'm just blown away that you're so open about it and willing to share this, your experience.
It's been, in the beginning it was a little embarrassing, I guess, but I'm like, you know what? No, I'm like, people need my help and they need help, to find companionship. And I just try to turn a negative experience into a positive one.
Absolutely.
So the users, there's not that many users yet. Of course, the more the users, more users, the better.
Yeah.
So definitely just, if everybody could just spread the word, because maybe you don't have that issue, but somebody else does. And
someone you know may. Yeah.
Right.
How would they find it? Can they go on the App Store? Is it good for Apples and Samsungs, or is it online as well?
For now, it's only available in the Play Store. So the Android.
Okay.
It is available. It's not in the App Store for Apple yet, because I try to get it into Apple and they actually stopped accepting dating apps.
Oh,
because they said there's too many scams out there. I mean, there's hundreds of dating apps, you know? So I guess basically I was a little too late. And they said that they wouldn't accept it. So, if you go to my website, entwinedating.com, it'll say download, or get Entwine now. So if you click on it from an Android, it'll open up the Play Store. If you click on it through your iPhone or the computer, it'll open up the web.
Okay.
And then you can download it to your iPhone home screen. Okay. So you could just open it that way and it's basically I think it's called a PWA, a progressive web app.
Okay.
So it'll have an icon, you click on it and it'll just open up the web instead of, through the App Store.
Okay.
And, once it is established and then I can, bring it to Apple again and just say, hey, look, I'm helping these people. This is not a scam.
It's not a scam.
I was in the local paper recently and of course the podcast, like all this is going to help me to plead my case and be like, this is needed. And so people can hopefully get it in the app Play Store store pretty soon.
Yeah. And like, as that demand grows too, hopefully they'll be able to see that and recognize that people are wanting to download it and it's not a scam.
Yes. I think the number of downloads and the Android will help as well. So, and it is a free app for now, it is free and it'll have premium features eventually available. Okay. Like who looked at me today, or who did I accidentally pass on? And I want to go back and, re-like them or whatever. So,
okay.
And you can message people. Once you get a match, you can message people and go from there and everything. So yeah, it's growing.
Yeah. That's really exciting. ideation to execution. That's so cool because like you did it. That's like a tech type thing to me seems daunting because like, you're like, okay, I don't even know what steps to do. So like the whole process I imagine was a huge learning curve. And
it was, and I was a stay at home mom. I worked part-time at a doctor's office. And then it was, I'm like, what am I doing? I'm crazy that I'm doing this. You know, I have no business background. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, but you did it.
I did. And, you know, unfortunately I am kind of too nice and not knowing too much about business. This was supposed to launch in March of 2019.
Okay.
I believe it was. And, I found an app developer and unfortunately I was too nice to them. I ended up, they wanted equity in my company and I was like, it's not even live yet. And you don't want it for the reasons that I want to do this. You don't want to help people. You're just looking for money.
Yeah.
And, so after I rejected them, they just, everything went downhill. So, it was frustrating though. Cause I used all my savings, to make this app. And then when that happened, I was like, what am I going to do now? You know, I can't stop. So I'm like, I have to find another way. So I found a great app developer that he knew what he was doing and he actually cared about my story and the reason for the app. And, so here we are now, it's live and, I'm excited about it. It's just like I said, I want to just get the word out and, yeah, and help people so that it is a successful app.
That's so awesome. The drive that you have to get this information out there to people. And then also to help connect people going through similar situations it's extremely selfless. And I love that because you alone, yes, you want to be able to help people, but like, this is just even next level. It's just multi-tiered and this ripple effect that people that you don't even know are being helped by this app and helping each other. And
oh, I can't wait to hear the stories. Thank you.
I'm so excited to hear the success stories.
And, oh yes.
And people talking about the app and how it helped them. So I'm very excited to see the future for this app. And
thank you.
I look forward to seeing it grow and maybe worldwide. Do you have a goal of how, like when it would go worldwide, or does it matter on country to country?
I don't think it really matters. I mean, okay, might as well everybody needs it, right? Everybody
needs
help.
Yeah.
It's happening worldwide. And yeah, if I can do it that way where it's just available right away everywhere, then that would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that's, I know, exciting. I just felt so sad. Like when this guy actually, he was from India, he messaged me twice. Like, please, did you change your mind yet? And I was like, in fact, it was like heartbreaking. He's like,
I'm
so desperate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah. So that's my, like I said, I just want to help people. And I think this is a good way to do that. And
absolutely.
The worldwide would be great. Yeah. So that's the goal.
Goals down the road. I love it. I love it. Well, this is kind of the perfect segue to go into towards the end of our interview. Mm-hmm. This is kind of a good point for me to ask you, what kind of advice do you have for the listeners out there, whether it's cancer related, vaginismus related, ED related, or just like relationship related? What kind of advice do you have out there?
I think that the don't be afraid to get a second opinion. Okay. Because if I didn't do that, I would probably, who knows what would have happened if I stayed with that surgeon. You know, I was comfortable. I don't like change at all. Mm-hmm. So once I'm with a doctor, I'm like, okay, I'm going to stay with this doctor. But even if you're comfortable with that doctor, you never know. Because like the first breast surgeon that I went to that did the biopsy, he's like, you don't need an MRI of your breast. He's just get a lumpectomy, you'll be fine. And I was like, okay, that's fine. You know, then I'm like, well, you know what? Let me try this doctor. I heard good things about her. And she's like, let's do an MRI. So when she did that, that's when I was like,
and
I actually went back to him for something else. And I was like, why don't you let women get MRIs for their breasts? And he's like, well, I just think it was unnecessary. I'm like, I think it saved me. I mean, if I would have just did a lumpectomy, who knows, you know, what would have happened. So definitely get a second opinion, and you're not going to offend anybody. Your doctor's not going to get offended. Just definitely do that. And try to ignore all the people that try to tell you how to cure cancer and stuff. Like, here, eat this dragon fruit thing that grows in wherever the heck, and don't do chemo. So
yeah.
So definitely get a second opinion and try not to listen to those people that are, you know, doctors that they think they're doctors. I mean, I should say.
Oh yeah. Trying to give you like the miracle cure.
Blech. Right.
I couldn't spit it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff out there on the internet and like people like social media and all that stuff. Like, do your own research definitely and ask and work with your physician.
Yes, for sure.
Oncologist team. Yeah. For sure. Well, that's definitely great advice. And I thank you so much for sharing your story. This is really cool and really educational. Are there some links into regarding vaginismus or even erectile dysfunction that you can share with me that I can share on the episode notes for people to look more into it and just to find out more information?
I don't have anything available. Mm-hmm. If they go on, I mean, I'm sure Google has a bunch of.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, well, I was about to say, I know you did a lot of research. I didn't know if there was like a certain foundation I can attach.
Oh, no,
the
no.
Link. Okay.
Yeah, there Perfect. Isn't. But if they do go on my website, though, I have a blog there and.
Oh, okay.
And the media page. So hopefully there'll be more media on there.
Okay.
But my article from the newspapers on there. But.
Perfect.
And then, of course, if they wanted to follow me on Facebook, they could do that at Entwined Dating. And then. And Instagram is entwine_dating.
Okay.
And sometimes I'll put articles on there, share articles. So they could probably find some information on my webpage as well, or on my social media accounts.
Okay. I will make sure to link that in the episode notes as well, so people can find you and learn more about entwined dating. That's perfect. I really appreciate you being here and sharing your story. Thank you for taking the time. It was wonderful getting to meet you and to learn. Oh no, thank you. It's my pleasure. I love being able to share stories, and this is definitely a unique one. And I'm so glad that we were able to connect and get it out there on the podcast as well.
Great. Thanks again for having me.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You too.
Thank you.